So you will be blessed tonight. Amen?
Amen.
So let's start with some prayer tonight, and if you will. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that lives will be changed tonight in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your word that cannot come back void. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that everything you do prospers. Everything we touch prospers. In your mighty name we pray and we ask. Amen. The title of tonight's message is titled Your Thought Life. I'll let you soak that in for a second. Your thought life. I'm gonna read some quotations for you that if you have something to write, it would benefit you. The first being, your thinking will determine your destination in life. Your destination will determine your outcome in life. And repeat that again. Your thinking, your thought life will determine your destination in life. Your destination will determine your outcome in life. Your thoughts will determine your attitude. And your attitude will determine your altitude in life. Your life always moves in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Your life always moves in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. What are you thinking today? How are you thinking today? You wake up in the morning with the first thought in your mind is how much money you owe. Do you wake up in the morning with the first thought in your mind at how bad your marriage is? Do you wake up with the first thought in your mind of how much you hate your job? How are you thinking? What are you thinking? Your life always moves in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. I'm going to use a book that I highly recommend you reading. Holy Bible. I'm going to use this book to reference tonight, if I may. This book, by the way, in case you don't know, has sold more copies than any other book. Amen, amen, amen. Never been advertised. Never been advertised. So why is it that so few people reference this book when they're in need, when their thought life is getting the best of them? Why is that? Well, tonight I'm going to use this book to reference. Holy Bible. And I'll start with a scripture. Remember that tonight's the title of tonight's message is Your Thought Life. And I'm going to use Philippians 4. If you'll turn with me, please. Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. Written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." What are you thinking tonight? How are you thinking tonight? The Apostle Paul says that if you think thoughts that are pure, it causes in you what God calls peace. So if you're thinking thoughts that are not based on God's will, you have no peace. Does you wake up in the morning with a knot in your stomach or a beer in your hand, 15 cigarettes lit? You can only smoke one, but you got 15 lit. Let me explain a little bit about the Apostle Paul. The one that wrote Philippians 4, 8 and 9. He was a murderer. He murdered Jews. So if you think that you've done something bad in your life, the guy that wrote this verse was a murderer. And not only was he any murderer, I mean, listen to me here. He enjoyed it. I don't know how many of you read this book, the one I'm referencing tonight, but he says it in there, that he enjoyed killing Jews. He took pleasure in it. And when he met Jesus Christ, it changed his life. And he allowed the Holy Ghost, through him, to write these words. And at the end of Paul's life, he says, Father God, I fought the good fight of faith. I fought the good fight of faith. Even though I was the worst of the worst. Some of you are sitting there looking, God could never use me. This is a murderer we're talking about that wrote this book of Philippians. He wrote most of the New Testament, actually. The Apostle Paul. And let me go over some of the things he experienced in his life in writing most of the New Testament. He was beaten, left for dead, shipwrecked. So, you know, somebody looks at us bad at church, and we don't come to church for 2 years. And, you know, how is your thought life? How are you thinking? We got the Apostle Paul here that was literally beat to death. And fortunately, he had his disciples next to him that laid hands on him and raised him from the dead. But when he got up, he said, where are we going next? You can't get close enough to the church and you don't come to church for a year. What are you thinking? Your life always moves in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. I repeat that. Your life always moves in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. And the Apostle Paul says again in Philippians 4, 8 and 9, he says, finally, brethren, think things that are true. Think things that are honest. Think things that are just, pure, lovely. Think on those things. And when you wake up in the morning, you'll have that peace. Amen. That peace. Now, let's talk about the problem. Why is it that we're in a society today, we have drug addictions, an industry of pornography, children getting pregnant in teenage years, broken marriages, broken homes, single moms? Why is it that we live in a society like that? Here's the problem. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, if you have your Bible, you can turn it there, please. 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we've been coming to church for years and hearing the pastor, and never quite grasping why our lives don't change. Why do we run on a treadmill? Why is it that the enemy continues to deceive us from reading this book? Why is it that we're so busy that we can't find time to open up this book, the best-selling book ever? Why is that? Why is it that the enemy deceives you into thinking that? Well, if you knew the truth, it set you free. So let's talk about what I just read in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Something the Lord calls divine order, godly order. And it's important that you understand this. It's important that you bite into this, because this will change your life. Remember, I started off by saying your lives will be changed tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Divine order, let's talk about it. God made us as a spirit. So our Father God is a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. Our soul consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our body consists of our five physical senses. Now, if the enemy desensitizes you from reading this book, how? Nobody else does it. If the enemy desensitizes you from reading this book, you can never develop your spirit, man. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Well, the heart referred to in the Bible is not your organ, because it's pretty hard to speak out of your organ. Amen? But the Bible refers to your heart as your spirit, man. Amen. Out of the abundance of your spirit, man, your mouth speaks. And if you spend 10 hours a day watching Oprah, I don't even know if Oprah comes out 10 hours a day, but if it did, praise the Lord. And that's what you're feeding your mind. That's what you're feeding your spirit, man. Well, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. See, God created you as a spirit. You got to understand. I'm not going to leave this topic until I see everybody smile at me. So the sooner you smile at me, the sooner I move on. I say in closing, amen. So God is a spirit. He created you a spirit. The only way you can develop your spirit is if you read the Holy Bible. Amen. The best-selling book ever. Now, if you don't take time developing your spirit, man, then out of the abundance of your heart, which is your spirit, man, your mouth will speak. So what are you speaking today? Your soul, which consists of your mind, your will, and emotions, which most, 95%, Christians and unbelievers alike, they base on what they say, they base on what they do, what comes out of their soul, which is their mind, will, and emotions. God gave you a mind to process your thoughts, not to speak from there. He gave you a mind so that when you put this word in you, in your spirit, man, and then it shoots a thought up to your mind, you process it in your mind, and then you speak it. But if you don't spend any time developing your spirit, man, with this truth, when the doctor says you're dying, you're going to believe him. But if you have this truth in your spirit, man, the doctor says you're dying. You said, "Doc, you got the wrong man." Amen? Amen? Because this book says, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Amen? Amen? Let's talk about the body. The five physical senses. Your body was meant to react based on what you tell it to do, people. Anybody in here have a physical need? Physical need, raise your hand. Physical needs? Does your body need healing? Praise the Lord. Anybody? Two people? Three people? Four people? You have every right to tell your body, line up with the truth. Amen. You have every right to tell your body, line up with the truth. But if you don't know what the truth is, you're going to be just as confused as your body. I'll get you there. I'll get you there. Hang on. Praise the Lord. I'm working on it. Praise the Lord. The power of the tongue. Praise the Lord. The power of the tongue. Satan's only weapon. Satan's only weapon. Let me explain that to you. You're a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. You're not a soul and you live in a body. Because if you overlook your spirit, man, the part that God created you as, then when the doctor says you're dying, your soul's going to tell your body that you're dying. So the end result is death. But if your spirit man tells your body what the truth is, the end result is health. True prosperity. Amen?
Amen.
All right. The only weapon Satan has is your tongue. That's the only weapon Satan has is your tongue. And let me give you proof. Remember, I'm going to reference a book. I highly recommend this book.
Amen.
I highly recommend it. Praise the Lord. Saved my life. Galatians 3:13. Write this down. You don't have to turn to it. Just write it down. Galatians 3:13. Let's talk about how this spirit, soul, and body comes into play. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Praise the Lord. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Let me repeat that. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Let's talk about that. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on a cross after being beaten, after being spat at, after being put a crown of thorns on his head. And he did that so that I can read today on Galatians 3:13 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Amen.
He hung on that cross so that over 2,000 years later, I can stand up here and read, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. It's already happened.
Amen.
But if you're not saying it, if you're speaking contrary to what Jesus has already done, then guess who's knocking at your door? If you're speaking contrary to what Galatians 3:13 says, let me say it again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. People, he's already done this for you. And every curse that the enemy tries to deceive you into thinking, every curse, sickness, disease, cancer, diabetes, divorce, every curse, bankruptcy, every curse you've been redeemed from. It's already happened. And you know how you limit yourself? When you ask God, God, I'm praying that you pay my rent. It's $500. Well, man, why are you limiting God like that? He's already redeemed you from that debt. So what you do is you go to God and you say, Father God, I thank you for Galatians 3:13. I thank you for redeeming me from that curse of debt. Don't limit yourself by calling out your debt, $50. Call out debt. Every debt that you have in your path is gone. It's been redeemed. Receive it. Receive it. That's the way it works. People, it's already happened. It's already occurred over 2,000 years ago, and here you are living in debt. All right, let's talk about another curse. Debt—that's a big one, amen. All right, ask the government. That's a big one. You've been redeemed. Whoever, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sickness. Sickness is in that realm of curse. You've been redeemed from sickness, people.
Amen.
The Bible says your body's been made whole. Amen. From head to toe. Amen. Perfect. See, if you're living contrary to perfection, meaning you're taking medication, you go to doctor visits 10 times a day, you're a freak VIP at the hospital, you're living contrary to what God said. So what you're doing is that you're saying that what Jesus did for us over 2,000 years ago was for no reason. And I got a problem with that. Unless you want to come up here and let me whip you with a cat of nine tails. You know what I'm saying? But I have a problem with that. When you allow the enemy to deceive you into thinking your body's sick, I've got a problem with that. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ redeemed you from that sickness. So why is it that your body is not well? Well, you're not living under your spirit, soul, and body divine order concept that God created. You're living based on what your body tells you, not what your spirit tells you. And the reason why you can't live the way your spirit tells you is because you never opened this book. Because if you did, your spirit would tell you your body's well. Go to the doctor, get a confirmation. Amen. The doctor, he went to school for a reason. Get a confirmation. Get an x-ray. Get an MRI. But don't be moved by what you see. It's temporary. It's subject to change. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from every curse. It's already happened. If you need a new heart, Jesus Christ has already given you one. Don't be moved by irregular heartbeats. Could be you're just in love again. Huh? Huh? Amen? Don't be moved by that. Don't be moved by that. If you're not living under divine order, people, if you're not allowing this book to feed your spirit, man, your heart, can your body live without your heart? You can't live without your spirit either. And if your spirit is malnutritioned, so are you. So if you depend on 7,000 medications a day, I don't know how you'd even possibly take that many, but if your body depends on them, start reading this word. Start reading this word. No, look. Don't take my word for it. Just do it. I challenge you. Don't take my word for it. Just do it. Just do it. And let's see what Galatians 3:13 will do for you. Let's see how it'll transform you. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Let's see how this book transforms you. Let's see how it transforms your thinking. Let's see that when your bank account shows negative, all right, and then you go to God's Word and you said, God supplies all my needs. Let's see what that does for you. Huh? Let's see what that does for you. But you know what? You're too busy. And you know why you're too busy? Because the enemy doesn't want you feeding your spirit, man. Do you know why he doesn't want you feeding your spirit, man? Because when you feed your spirit, man, you prosper. And the Bible calls true prosperity. True prosperity is not just money, people. It's peace. It's joy. When you get home from work, your wife's sitting there with a lingerie, and you're like, whoa! Doesn't matter how long you've been married. No, amen, amen. Amen, can you say amen for me? Amen. It doesn't matter if you've been married 30 years. You'll be sitting there waiting. Why? True prosperity. True prosperity. But you know what? But hold on a second. But you know what will happen to you? Is that you'll start telling her you love her. Yeah. Yeah, because when you start reading this book, it'll transform your spirit, man. And you look and you say, man, honey, you look good tonight. Amen. But you know what? You know what you do instead, man? Well, you're at work and you tell somebody else that. You know that? You're spiritually malnutritioned. So you get to work and the wind blows and you get all, you know what I'm saying? Huh? And the first person you see, well, wow, you look mighty fine. You should be telling your wife that. But if the enemy can deceive you into thinking that that girl looks better than your wife and he breaks up your marriage, guess what? You become a statistic. Huh? So be it. Praise the Lord. Spirit, soul, body. Divine order. Godly order. Spirit, soul, body. I'm going to tell you what I hear. I've had nails put in my knee. Nothing I can do about it. Well, praise the Lord. Read Galatians 3:13. But you don't understand. My grandfather died of diabetes. His father died of diabetes. Read Galatians 3:13. But you don't get it. My wife, she's just so hard. She's annoying. Read Galatians. Read Galatians 3:13. Read Galatians 3:13. Read Galatians 3:13. But you don't understand. You don't understand. I don't have a degree. I don't have a good job. Read Galatians 3:13. Read Galatians 3:13. What Jesus did for you over 2,000 years ago cannot, will not change. The only reason it changes is because you don't get enough of this word to mature your spirit, man, so that when the enemy tries to deceive you with your thought life, well, guess what happens? He defeats you. But let me burst your bubble here real quick. Your thought life doesn't originate in your mind, people. Your thought life originates in your spirit. For those of you that spend 50 years in college, your thought life does not start in your mind. Your thought life is in your spirit. If you want real knowledge, buy the book. Buy the book. If you want real wisdom, get this book. That's why I'm not referencing Encyclopedia Britannica. I'm referencing the Holy Bible. Because this book, in one page, has more wisdom than any 4-year university could offer me.
That's right.
I mean, one scripture. Well, forget the page. Galatians 3:13 has more wisdom than any... Huh? Come on, people. But you got it all figured out. I got it all analyzed, right? You know, if I... check it out. Check it out. I owe $50,000 on this credit card. By the time I'm 90, I'm 20 years old right now, if I pay $50 a month, huh? It's just too low. Praise the Lord. Wow. Huh? Come on, people. Come on. Galatians 3:13 says we've been redeemed from every curse. Dead is a curse. So let me go back to what I was saying. Praise the Lord. About the only weapon the enemy has is your tongue. See, when you develop your spirit man, and your spirit man, which is filled with this word, again, my reference book tonight, and every night for that matter, every day. When your spirit man is filled with this book, then what comes out of this spirit man is wisdom, knowledge, sanctification, redemption, holiness, purity, love. Honey, I love you. Honey, you look great. You don't go and look at another woman, men. Women, you don't go and shop all night so until you feel better and then you use up 50,000 credit cards. You don't do that. What? Open this book and it'll transform you. Listen. Don't trust your spouse. Trust your Creator. Trust your Creator. And when you put your trust in this Creator, he'll change your marriage. Let me tell you. Amen? Amen. I got my wife here. She'll back me up. Praise the Lord. She'll back me up. Now, let's talk about something in the Bible that's important. Everything in the Bible is important, but let's talk about one more thing that's important. Everyone heard the story of Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve? We're all theologians here tonight, huh? Praise the Lord. Adam and Eve, everybody heard? Has anybody not heard the story of Adam and Eve? All right, praise the Lord. We're on the same page. So I get some smiles here. All right. So, all right. What the enemy does, check it out. What the enemy does when your spirit man is malnutritioned, thus you're producing cavities all over the place. Follow me? The enemy deceives you into thinking that you're smarter than this word. All right. So then you get yourself into messes like debt, adultery, pornography. You know what I'm saying, right? You've never been there, but you know what I'm saying. You see it on the news. Amen? Now, what the enemy does is he creates a stronghold. Okay? If it's not a stronghold in your life, take a deep breath. But when it becomes a stronghold, let me explain the story of Adam and Eve. See, Eve saw the tree of life. She didn't just one day wake up and say, honey, I'm going to go buy this fruit from this tree. Because what did God tell Eve not to do? Huh? Huh? Same thing your parents say, come home early, and what do you do? Come home late. And then you don't show up for a week. And then, praise the Lord. All right. So see what happened with Eve. But come on, stay with me. What happened with Eve is that she'd pass that tree. She'd pass that tree every day. And the enemy would be there like, it's all right, take a bite. And she'd pass, you know, at the beginning she was running by, you know, because she didn't want anything to do with that tree, because God says if you eat of that tree, you'll die. Not physically, but spiritually, which is even worse. Okay? So in the beginning, she'd run by that tree. But after a while, that tree, because of her malnutrition spirit, that tree looked a lot more appetizing. You know, like potato skins? No, you know, nobody likes potatoes. Just me? Praise the Lord. All right. So then, that thought of biting that apple or fruit, it became a stronghold in her. It became a stronghold. And she'd go home. I'm sure she'd dream about it. Why would it happen? How juicy is that? You know what I'm saying? Oh, okay. You know, you've been there. Huh? It may not be a fruit. Huh? Huh? Yeah. A visa. They increased my limit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Huh? Whoa. It may be another woman. In the beginning, you run by. Huh? But then it becomes a stronghold. You go home, you dream about it. And then you haven't ironed your clothes in 20 years, and then you start ironing your clothes. Huh? 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 It's starting to become a stronghold? Huh? Huh? Yeah. Some of you have been there. Huh? Well, so when it became a stronghold in Eve's thought life, see, well, the message then is your thought life. When that thought became a stronghold, what did she do? Anybody? She what? She sinned. And then Adam comes around and says, "Wow, this wife you gave me, God? Huh? Praise the Lord. This wife you gave me, see what she did? Went on and disobeyed you. Huh? Huh? But I'm telling you, when you have your spirit man, when your spirit man has his unction, when it has this unction, it doesn't matter how many fruits come your way. See, so let me give you another example. Women, because I picked on men earlier, right? They ironed their clothes. I was picking on men. They hadn't ironed their clothes in 20 years, and then they started ironing their clothes because they got that woman that they... You follow me? You got me on that? Now, women, you're on a diet, okay? You're on a diet, and you pass by a bakery, but the first time... You know, you get a ticket because you're going so fast. You don't want to get tempted, right? Huh? Huh? Yeah, yeah. And then after a couple of weeks, you start going slower. You know, hoping that there's a parking space open up, right? Huh? Huh? And then something goes wrong, and you stop, and you indulge yourself in a humongous pie, but you're on a diet. See, it became a stronghold. But the Word of God says you can bind that. And what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Bind that pie. Yeah, women, bind the pie. Bless the Lord. You bind that pie in the name of Jesus. You bind that cigarette. You bind that credit card. You bind everything that comes as contrary to this word. But don't, hey, hold on a second. If you're, see, let me tell you a true story. My wife and I were arguing. Honey, forgive me for this. My wife and I were arguing. And you know, I got this unction in me. And so she starts arguing about something. I don't know what it was, to be honest with you. But I start speaking in tongues. You know, ashakalabas. And she, you too. She tells me, you too. Bless the Lord, I received that. But see, I highly recommend that. You bind that pie. You bind that credit card in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, what? What? Jesus bound that fig tree? Did he not? Huh? Come on, people. May Lord Jesus. Pastor trying to take our... All right, Pastor, come on. Praise the Lord. But you follow me? Your thought life. Your thought life. What are you thinking today? How are you thinking today? What is it that you're thinking? What's becoming that stronghold in you? When you get this book in you, though, the enemy doesn't have a chance. Doesn't have a chance. According to Galatians 3:13, what? What you got, Satan? What you got? Because according to my brother Jesus, anything you bring my way, I've been redeemed from. So what you got? Debt? Well, I've been redeemed from that. Sickness? Been redeemed from that. See, the other thing about this book, it's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, yellow, green, Chinese, women, female, educated, uneducated, Hispanic. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It'll work for anybody. How do you not reference this book? How do you not open it? How do you let it sit there and gain more dust in the Sahara Desert? How do you allow that to happen? How do you allow that to happen when one page in this book brings you more wisdom than a four-year education? How do you allow this book to gain so much dust? Why? 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 Because it'll change your life. It'll restore your marriage. Don't believe me, but try it. And don't just go home for 5 minutes. Come on, people. You know, at least try as long as you do your diet. 3 days. Praise the Lord. At least 3 days. Give it 3 days. Come on now. Work with me here. You know, at least three. Your diet 3 days. Sometimes you go a week. Well, let's go with the last diet. You went 2 months, right? January 1st, you went to March. All right, let's read this book from January 1 to March. And then, and next time Pastor invites me up here, if he invites me again, then I'll see, shaka, you'll be like, akalabaso, bind you, bind you. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But that's all right. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you what. If I go to the doctor and he says I'm dying of cancer, I said, Doc, you got the wrong guy because I've been redeemed from that curse. See, and the reason you can't receive it tonight is because your spirit man is malnutritioned. Amen.
Amen.
Some of you, it's not. Praise the Lord, Lars. Lars' spirit over here is overflowing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Lives are going to be changed tonight in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. How do we stay victorious with our thought life? Praise the Lord. How do we stay victorious with our thought life? Remember, our thought life doesn't originate in our minds. Our thought life originates in our spirit, man. So it doesn't matter how educated you are. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are. It doesn't matter how many licenses you have on the wall. It's not going to get you anywhere when it comes to life. You know why? Because your spirit man is what's underdeveloped. And when you get this word in your spirit man, let's talk about how you keep a victorious thought life. You ready? Three things. I'll write these down for me. Praise the Lord. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says, "Beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Step number one, meditate on the Word day and night. That's what this book says. Meditate day and night. Day and night. And according to Romans 12, 1, 2, what will happen is it will transform you.
Amen.
Second step. Start living like you've been redeemed from the curse of the law.
Amen.
Start living like you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That would mean that when you're around someone that's speaking contrary to this word, you say something like, "Praise the Lord." You don't say, "Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you." You follow me?
Amen.
Stop. Start living like you believe you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Start living it. And if you need a new heart, Galatians 3:13 has already provided it. Stop hanging around people that speak contrary to God's word. Wow. I didn't write this, so. Stop hanging around people that speak contrary to God's word.
Amen.
How? What does that mean? Well, you tell them you got cancer, well, you're going to die. You're dead. I'm going to start planning your funeral, mariachis, you name it. You know what I'm saying? Stop hanging around those kind of people. Again, let's go over it. Meditate on God's word day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Make it a lifestyle. You know, like you eat? Meditate on this word. Day and night. Day and night. Start living like you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Stop hanging around people that speak contrary to God's word. Praise the Lord for that. You know, it talks about that in the Bible. Jesus, he was at a Bible study. That's my interpretation. He was teaching, okay? And the people in the meeting come to him and say, "Hey, your mom and your brothers are outside. They want to talk to you." They're his natural mom and brothers. But prior to that, his mom and his brother said that he had gone nuts. I'm talking about Jesus here. His mom and his brothers had confessed with their mouth, you know, confession brings possession. Had confessed about Jesus that he went nuts. Because he was healing people and speaking in other languages, you know, raising people from the dead. You know, all that kind of stuff that you used to see every day. Huh? And his brother and his mom said, "The guy's a lunatic." So when he arrives at the study, he tells that somebody says, "Hey, your mom's looking for you." Do you know what his reply was to them? You're waiting for me to answer. He tells them, "My mom and my brothers are believers around me. You're my mother. You're my brothers. Because if you believe like I believe, you're never going to call me a lunatic when you see me raise someone from the dead. If you believe how I believe, you're not going to call me a lunatic when I bind and cast out demons." See? Stop hanging around people that speak contrary to God's word. Because when they're not around you, guess what? What do you think they're calling you? Praise the Lord. Huh? Wow. Did y'all write those down? I want to talk about some people in the Bible that had trouble with their thought life. Okay? They had trouble with their thought life. and receive this if it relates to you, and I'm going to give you how they overcame that. In the Bible, it talks about a person called Lucifer. Anybody know who Lucifer was? Amen. Lucifer, beautiful angel, God in his, well, how he thought about this. But he says, you know what? I can do what God does. In fact, I can do it better than God. Huh? Had those thoughts. Huh? What happened to Lucifer? And named what? What did they call him? Call him Satan. His thought life. Got his name changed to Satan. I've never, you know, in my 40 years of life, I've never run into anybody who's been named Satan. You know what I'm saying? Like their kids, hey, Satan, what's up? Now, you know? So it must not be that good of a name. You know what I'm saying? I've heard like Jesus, Jesus, you know, but never Satan. You know, I've heard dogs called Satan. You know what I'm saying? But never, you follow me? So they changed from Lucifer to Satan because of his thought life. Because of his thought life. Huh? All right, person number two. Praise the Lord. Cain. The first recorded murder in the Bible. Cain. You know who he murdered? His brother. He murdered his brother Abel. His flesh and blood, not his brother in Christ. His flesh, he murdered his flesh and blood. You know why? His thought life. He got angry at something. Well, let me tell you the whole story. See, it's Old Testament story. In that time, you had to provide a sacrifice to God in order to be your sins to be covered, because Jesus hadn't come yet. Amen? So, God, very specific to Adam. That was Adam's kids, by the way. Adam had two kids, two boys, Abel and Cain. And so Adam taught them, you bring your best sacrifice. See, but Abel wanted to have his own thinking. You know, he had it all figured out. He didn't bring his best sacrifice. God got upset. And Cain got all the credit. Thus, he murdered his brother. His thought life. Murdered his own brother. Over a pat on the back. That's all it was. How are you thinking today? He murdered his brother over a pat on the back. One more. And then I'm going to go over people that were victorious in their thought life. So I'll close with that. Praise the Lord. King Saul. King Saul faced a man named David. And he faced him because everybody talked highly of David. David was a mighty warrior. Anointed. He had an anointing on him. And so check this out. They're arriving after a battle, and the crowds were around King Saul and David, because they worked together, and the crowds around them were cheering for King Saul, saying, "Oh, you killed 1,000 men." They're cheering him on, but when it came to David, they started cheering. He killed 10,000 men, so King Saul took offense to that. See, what doesn't make any sense is that David reported to Saul. So what does it matter if they gave David the credit? It all still boils down to King Saul. You follow me? You have a business and you have a top performing salesman and he makes money for you. Well, and he gets the credit. Praise the Lord. I still get paid. That's right. What? You know what I'm saying? But no, King Saul, no. King Saul didn't let it go. He wanted David dead. His best salesman. He wanted him dead. Yeah. His best salesman. He wanted him dead. Because they cheered him on more than they did King Saul. How dare they cheer him on? Do they know King? You know what I'm saying? And so it became a stronghold in his life. Every day he was thinking of ways to kill David. Every day. That was his whole life. How am I going to kill David? You know, imagine that. I mean, he was a king. He was a king. He had servants. He had all the food in the world he wanted. He had, I don't know how many women. But he had it all. But every day he thought about how to kill David. Kind of like some of us who grew up, well, my dad never told me this. So, you know, you're 7 years old and my dad, okay, Father God, your dad, he loves you. So that's just as good. But let me go back to King Saul. So every day he lived that way. Every day, I'm going to kill David. He just couldn't let it go. So you know what he did? You know what happened to him? Committed suicide. He killed himself. The enemy deceived him so much to the point of self-destruction? Huh? Explain that to me. You got houses, you got cars, you got wealth, you got riches, you got a beautiful wife and family, and you want to mess around. Explain that to me. Self-destruction. Why? What? Self-destruction. So King Saul, he had it all. And because he couldn't let go of that one little... This is me over years and years. One... He killed himself. Your thought life. So let's talk about people that had a victorious thought life. Amen? Amen. David. The same David I was just talking about. He had every opportunity to kill King Saul. Every opportunity. I mean, put yourself in his place. All right. Thought life. You're married, house, riches, wealth. Your husband's messing around. What are you going to do? 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 Well, let me tell you what King David did. Well, he became king, but let me tell you what David did. He says, I'm not touching the man. I know better than to touch a man that's anointed by God. Wow. And King David becomes one of the most... I mean, read this book. I highly recommend my reference book tonight. Read the book of David's life. But he wouldn't allow an offense of his thought life, an offense to come against what God's best was for his life. Because had he allowed an offense to take root in his life, he would have never received God's best. Amen. And if you can't change the way you think, and you can list 70 pages of how bad things are in your life, but if you can't change the way you think, you can't change your outcome. Amen. Then I started with that. You know when my voice was shaking a little bit? That's how I started. Your thoughts will determine your outcome in life. If you can't change the way you think, you can't change your outcome. And the only way you can change your thought life is if you have a mature spirit. Focus on your spirit man, people. Amen. A psychiatrist is not going to do the job. Their medication is not going to do the job. But when you feed your spirit man with God's word, it becomes a river of living water. And it flows out of you. Amen? Huh? And Galatians 3:13 becomes real in your life. If somebody calls you a lunatic, praise the Lord. I receive that. Amen? Because they called Jesus a lunatic. Huh? Oh, well, amen. Lars, my Lars on fire tonight. Praise the Lord. So let's talk about somebody else that had a victorious thought life. One more. My brother Jesus. Praise the Lord. My brother Jesus. Victorious thought life. Not moved by what he saw, not moved by what he heard. No. He was around. See, Jesus, you know, a lot of people think he was poor. Well, he had a bookkeeper, people. You know, Judas was his bookkeeper, right? But the problem with Judas is that he was greedy. So Judas was responsible. See, Jesus didn't need anything. Jesus' mentality was, my responsibility is to spread the good news. I don't need a place to live. I don't need any. I just need to spread the gospel. Amen. Huh? Amen. Well, that explains why he has such a prosperous thought life. Amen. So his disciple, Judas, he Jesus would send him out to give to the poor. Amen? And he'd take a little bit for him. And he'd give a little bit to the poor. Here you go. Take a little bit for him. Give it. Judas, his disciple, the person that would hang around him. So you're telling me that Jesus didn't know that? He didn't allow it to bother him. Because you know who he served? He served God. And you know what God does? He provides all his needs anyway. So why? Okay, Judas, it's all yours. God supplies all my needs anyway. Figure it out, Judas. You wouldn't have to be ripping me off if you knew that. Huh? Huh? But see, Jesus didn't allow that to bother him. Now, come on. Let's be honest for a second. One second, be honest. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If I was your bookkeeper and I was ripping you off, would you invite me to dinner?
No.
I just wanted to ask. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's talk about another part where we talked about what Jesus' mother and his brothers called him. They called him a lunatic and he didn't let that bother him. Huh? And so let's talk about something else. This is important. It's all important, but check this out. Jesus was teaching his disciples. Okay? Kind of like I'm doing here. Praise the Lord. And the disciple says, I don't receive that nonsense, Jesus. Jesus was talking about salvation and redemption and I've got to go because there's something greater than me. And he was talking about, you know, all that Galatians 3:13, you know. And the disciples were like, I can't receive that. So they left. Jesus could have thought, man, did I have bad breath? What was up? I didn't, because see, when your spirit man knows that it knows, it doesn't matter what anybody says about you. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what you hear. It doesn't matter what you feel in your body because you know the truth and it sets you free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. So I'm telling you tonight, your body is healed in the name of Jesus. Your body is well. It has to be. It doesn't have a choice, people. You gotta bite into this. It does not have a choice. Your body has got to function the way God created it. Period. Your bank account's got to function the way God created it. Period. Your marriage has got to function the way God created it. Period. There's no ifs, ands, or but. You follow me? God said it. That settles it. There's no in-between. There's no gray. Your thought life is what's causing the gray. See, because you start analyzing and then you start making things up. You know, you become cafeteria Christians. I'm gonna praise the Lord. You got that? Huh? You know what I'm saying? I'll pick this part of Christianity, but when it comes to tithing, no, 10%. You know how much I make? Well, let's pray about that. And let's pray that God has you make less so that your 10% isn't as much, huh? All right, all right. Amen. Amen. This is not, praise the Lord. Pastor Moss didn't talk me into saying that. Okay, he didn't tell me. He didn't say anything to me. But check this out. Check this out. See, you cannot expect God's best and not live under God's will. If God says tithe, you tithe. If God says fast, you fast. If God says you serve as whatever He has you serve, you do it. But see, what you got to understand is He's preparing you for something. And your minds can't comprehend what God's preparing you for. You cannot comprehend it in your mind. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to analyze. You take out your protractors and your rulers, and you know, you don't use them, but you take them out. And you lay them on the table, and you try to analyze. Tithe. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. If you want prosperity, give it. If you want healing, give it. How do you give it? Well, go lay hands on somebody that's sick. My Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen? Give and it shall be given unto you. See, all right. The theologians, the religious folk, they're only thinking of money. If I give, well, I make $100, I give $10. Whoa, 100-fold? Yeah. Check it out. Well, that 100-fold never comes. 3 months later, you're still giving, and that 100-fold never comes. You know why? God knows your heart. You analyzed the giving, took out your HP calculator, praise the Lord, and if I give $10, see, you did that before you gave. And then you never get your 100-fold and you blame Pastor Moss. I want a meeting, Pastor Moss. I haven't gotten 100-fold in 3 months. Pastor Moss like, whoa, wait. You're not giving to me. You're not giving me nothing. And that's, see, your thought life. Your thought life. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Overflow. Overflow. Amen. Huh? That's the way it is. Amen. You understand it? Amen. That's just the way it is. Amen. Don't hate me for it. I live in overflow. That's just the way it is. God said it. That settles it. I don't go and question my banker. Why do I have so much money in my bank account? I don't do that kind of stuff. Huh? Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I don't do that kind of stuff. Because God said it, that settles it. Well, God says I'm going to prosper. I'm going to be in health. Well, that settles it. And if I'm not prospering, there's something wrong. What is it that's... Because it can't be God. What is it I'm doing wrong that I'm not prospering and not in health? What is it I'm doing? What am I doing wrong? Because there's something I'm doing wrong. It could be all the pornography I'm watching. Nah, I'm all right with that. Let's see. Huh? No. Come on. Huh? Praise the Lord. Huh? Can you hear me? You want God's best? Get under God's will. What is God's will for your life? Do you even know that? Get into His Word. Read it. Meditate on it day and night. And then it becomes you. And then when you see your wife, you tell her you love her. And then when she sees you, she tells you she loves you. God's best. And when you need to write a check, you don't have to post-date it 3 years. Your thought life. See, what you're thinking is, but you don't understand. You don't know what kind of job I have. Let's go back. God said it. That settles it. He didn't say only if you own your own business. He didn't say that. Because if he did, everybody would own their own business. He didn't say you'd be in hell if you worked out every day, 5 hours a day. He didn't say that. He says, I want you to prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. Well, so what does that say? Well, in order for me to prosper and be in health, my soul's got to prosper. What's my soul? My mind, my will, and my emotions. If my mind, my will, and my emotions aren't prospering, I'm not prospering. If I'm thinking broke, I'm broke. If I'm thinking sick, I'm sick. See, your mind, your will, and emotions have to prosper in order for you to prosper. How do you get your mind, will, and emotions to prosper? Divine order. Your spirit. Your spirit. Your spirit, man. Treat yourself like a spirit, man. And then when you do, an unction comes in you. And then when somebody tries to come and deceive you, you say, get behind me in the name of Jesus. And when some sickness comes towards your body, you say, I bind you sickness in the name of Jesus. And when some ignoramus person starts to talk you out of God's best, you say, listen, I don't need your opinion. You follow me? You want God's best? Get under God's will. And it'll change your thought life. What are you thinking today? How are you thinking today? I'm not done. I'm not done. Praise the Lord. Don't throw me out yet, Pastor Moss. Okay, praise the Lord. Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Let me tell you how Jesus answers those things that you in your mentality, I better take offense to that. Let me tell you how Jesus answers. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind to one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Wow. Let me repeat that. That's a wow, people. Amen. Jesus is saying this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. In other words, let it go. Let it go. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. See, what a lot of you don't understand is when Jesus was on the cross, before he was on the cross, because Galatians 3:13 happened when Jesus was raised from the dead, he says, I've redeemed you from every curse. All right. What you've got to understand is prior to that, when they whipped him with a cat of nine tails, all right, and picture it, when they whipped him, they tore out part of his flesh, people. It wasn't just like, you're like, it's not you. No. They dug into Jesus. See, what you got to understand, at any time, at any given moment while Jesus was experiencing that, he could have said, Michael, God, get me out of this mess. Do you realize that? Amen. He could have said, I don't want any of this. You didn't tell me I was going to get beat up, God. I thought I was just going to come and spread the gospel. But at any moment, he could have said, I don't want any of this. But he didn't. He didn't. He didn't. On the contrary. On the contrary. When he hung on that cross, he says, forgive them, for they not know. Oh, my Lord Jesus. He says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He hung on a cross, naked. He didn't have any clothes. He didn't have any clothes. Come on now. He was naked. He hung with a thief, and he hung with a murderer. And then he said to them, forgive them, Father God, for they know not what they do. What are you thinking today? Oh, somebody took your parking lot and you take out Magnum 45 and shoot up their tires? Come on. What are you thinking today? What are you thinking? Jesus says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It didn't finish there. At any time, Jesus could have said, God, help me out of this mess. Understand that. I mean, and he raised people from the dead. Don't you think he could have called on any angel and they would have just immediately taken him off that cross? He could have done it. But he didn't. Why? Because he knew that if he stayed on that cross and he went down to the bowels of hell, and he said to Satan, I've defeated you in the name of God Almighty. Give me your crown. Give me your keys. Give me your robe. Sickness no longer. Death no longer. Death no longer. You follow me? That's what he did for you. And he preached. And he preached. That's what he did in hell. He preached. Christ has redeemed you from every curse. That settles it. That settles it. Sickness, get away. Debt, get away. Whoa. How long do you do it? As long as it takes. As long as it takes. How long do you tithe? As long as it takes. How long do you believe? As long as it takes. Don't be cafeteria Christians, people. Don't pick and choose what you're going to believe in. Because you'll never experience God's best. And God's best, you cannot calculate in your mind. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. Doesn't matter how many degrees you've got. You cannot. You cannot calculate God's best in your mind. You have no idea. Amen. So Jesus goes down to hell. Yeah? For real. It's in the book. My reference book, Holy Bible, the truth. And he starts preaching the gospel. And he tells Satan, with authority, get, I'm telling you this for a reason, you've got to get into this authority. He tells Satan, you're defeated. You're defeated. You're defeated. It's over, Satan. You got nothing. You got nothing. You've got nothing. You're defeated. And the only weapon, as I mentioned earlier, that the enemy has is your tongue. But if you speak contrary to what Jesus did and you say, I'm sick, that's contrary to God's word. Then you ignite fear. You ignite unbelief. And it spreads like a wildfire. And I'm just waiting. Praise the Lord. In San Antonio, my office, a couple years ago, I made a decision. In fact, January 1st, 2006, I'm going to serve the Lord every day. I own my own business in San Antonio. I'm going to serve the Lord. That's going to be my priority in life. I made that decision. That's going to be my priority in life. And the Bible says that the blessing comes upon you and it empowers you to recreate your conditions. So everything around you has to change. And guess what? Everything around me in San Antonio is different. They praise God. They serve the Lord. Everyone around me. Why? Because God's given me the blessing. And that blessing empowers me to recreate my conditions. How? With what I say. And if you're not confessing it, you're not possessing it. If you're not confessing it, if your environment is full of sickness and disease and lack, that's what you're saying. Look, this is the truth. I'm not saying try it because I've tried it. My conditions have been recreated. Everything around me prospers. Everything I touch prospers. Why? Because I have the blessing. I have the blessing. I have God's. That's God's best is the blessing. You don't want to lose a blessing. You don't want to lose this blessing. But to get it, you've got to sacrifice. Change the way you think. Amen. Change the way you think. How? That's right, Lars. Wash your brains, people. That's not what he said, by the way. But wash your brains, people. Wash. You every now and then you got to wash that brain. Brain. Wash it out. But yeah, come on. Look. I'll get you out here shortly. I know your turkey's in the oven. Listen, people. I know that I know. Some of you are sitting here looking at me like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But you can't sleep at night. You got every bank card calling you in town.